Are you what?
She said seductively.
Since you were such a good boy today, I'll put a straw in your beer when we get back to the apartment.
Silver stood up, a sarcastic smile replacing the pout. Bo was cooking in the kitchen when they returned. It was a rare sight, but not unheard of. Normally, they lived off of frozen food, but now and then, Bo would get on a cooking show kick and thought he was a chef. Usually, that meant there would be a ton of dishes filling the sink and burnt food for dinner until he moved on to something else.
"Welcome back, lovebirds! How was the romantic walk on the beach?"
Bo asked as he threw onions and peppers into the skillet.
"Magical! Although Ash wore out all his fingers playing with me,"
Silver said. She took a beer from the fridge and put a straw in it, as promised, before setting it on the coffee table in front of Ash. Bo arched an eyebrow at Ash's fingers covered in bandages.
"Please tell me something else isn't in a splint. Nah, you know what? I don't want to know."
Silver laughed as she grabbed a beer for herself and lay on the couch, plopping her feet on Ash's lap. "Like I told you, Silver and I are not a couple. She's my magic teacher and is just crashing with us while she teaches me," Ash said as he leaned forward to take a sip of beer. Bo laughed from the kitchen.
"Yeah, your teacher's the woman who the first time I saw her was nude except for your jacket and is currently sleeping in your bedroom every night. Don't care what your kink is, man, as long as you both keep the noise levels down."
Ash sighed as he relaxed on the couch, choosing to ignore Bo's comment. No good would come from him admitting that he had been kicked out of his bed by the nefarious banshee, and his current bed was a sleeping bag on the floor. His phone vibrated in his jacket pocket.
"I think you got a message,"
Silver said helpfully.
"Not like I can respond to it right now,"
Ash said as he held up his hands. Silver had a mischievous smile as she reached forward and fished the phone out of his pocket.
"Silver," Ash warned.
She still had the mischievous smile on her face.
"What? I'm just helping you out. Ooh, look! It's from the Select Puppy. I'll read it out loud for you."
Bo froze in his cooking.
"Slut puppy?"
he asked, a brow raised.
"That fucking bitch!"
Silver scowled at the phone. She started typing out a message, only for Bo to come up from behind the couch and snag the phone from her.
"Hey! I've got to put that bitch in her place!"
Silver pouted. Bo looked at the message.
"Ember? This the streamer you've been talking to, right?"
Ash was a little worried about what the message said. Since the night that he was a distraction for Ember, their relationship had been a lot spicier. Bo smirked as he turned the phone to show Ash the message.
"Well, she just asked you out on a date."
Ember:
"Recently, our relationship has become something more than professional and friends. As such, I would like to meet you in person, so that I may get to know the real you, and for you to get to know the real me. I have booked a table at May's Den in District 114 in 3 days at 6 p.m., that district time. Let me know if you can make it."
Ash stared wide-eyed at the message, ignoring the glare from Silver.
"You don't find it suspicious that she's asking to meet in the district you live in?"
Silver asked in a hostile tone. Bo was the one to answer as he shrugged.
"Ember is a wolfkin streamer. District 114 has a decent-sized beastkin community, and May's Den is well known in other districts. Not that suspicious. Hell, she could be a local."
"Bo, help me get these splints off my fingers and hand me my phone. Also, what is May's Den?"
Bo started to unwind the tape on the splints while Silver pouted on the couch.
"A French restaurant. When the rifts first started happening, May, the owner, was dropped outside a pretty famous French restaurant. She became friends with the head chef and learned a lot about cooking before being deported to Davos."
"Wait, We have a nice restaurant here.
Ash frowned at Bo.
Why do we always go to the twins, then?
Because you're a cheap date that never puts out,
Bo said with a wink.
Ain't that the truth?
Silver started laughing, then frowned.
Bo, is the stove still on?
Bo's eyes went wide.
Oh, shit!
Phelan examined her body in the mirror. She was only wearing her underwear, as her fingers traced over every scar on her body. She had gained a lot of them from a lifetime of fighting. Ember didn't have scars, though. Phelan had used makeup to hide them when she was using that persona. Would Ash still want to do the things to Phelan's body that he would text Ember about doing to hers? She shook the negative thoughts from her mind. The last few days had been stressful and left her feeling vulnerable. She thought about texting Ash as Ember and seeing if he wanted to play so she could get off and forget about things for a while. Instead, she pulled a beer from the fridge and plopped onto the couch. Her coffee table was scattered with papers she had found while searching Ray's home. She had broken into her place in hopes of finding information on where Luna could be. There was nothing, of course, except a box of receipts from a butcher shop and a flash drive with a video of Ray being passed around by some trolls. The blonde wolfkin had some odd kinks. Phelan had taken the box of receipts to look through and left the flash drive. So far, the receipts held nothing odd, and her few scouting trips into District 208 had been fruitless. She was no closer to finding Luna than when she had killed Ray. At least she could do something about Ash. It had been a shock to learn that he was the boy she'd been talking to as Ember. Ash wasn't bad-looking. Even before learning who he was, she had thought him attractive, especially when he got focused on his magic. The first time she saw him at the beach casting spells, she watched him closely, and not just because of the issues Ray had caused between them. Phelan frowned at recalling the attack on Ash and quickly took a swig of her beer. The bitterness took her mind away from it. That was the real fear with Ash. Would he be able to forgive her for all she had done? He had accepted her apology and even invited her in for coffee, but it was a big jump from forgiving your enemy and tolerating them to forgiving them and taking them as your lover. She would find out soon. She planned to reveal to Ash on the date that Phelan and Ember were one and the same. Would he accept her and support her during this hellish time of her life? Or would he reject her and no longer be the rock she had been clinging to in this storm? Chapter 8. Ash adjusted the collar of his shirt for at least the dozenth time. He was about to meet Ember, and he was more than a little nervous. The last 3 days had flown by, mostly from the burst training Silver had him doing, which left him comatose the rest of the day from all the potions in his system.
"The color is fine. You look sharp and she'll be impressed," Bo said with a roll of his eyes.
"Just nerves. Are you sure there's nothing I need to know about going on a date with a beastkin, like cultural taboos or anything?" Ash asked Bo. Silver was the one who answered, though.
"Dating is more a human thing that the paranormal communities picked up from media. Her expectations will be in line with that. So, you know, try to show restraint and not fuck her brains out on the table in the middle of a high-end restaurant."
Ash nodded his head as he ignored the last part of what Silver said.
"Right, well, I'm heading out. What do you two plan to do tonight?"
Bo and Silver shrugged from their respective spots on the couch with bored expressions.
"Probably a lazy night, watch some movies, maybe head down to the twins," Bo said.
"I picked up a new book recently,"
Silver added as she twirled a bit of hair with her finger.
"Figured I'd read it tonight."
Ash eyed both of them. There was something off about how nonchalant they were acting, but whatever. He had places to be. May's Den was a two-story brick building with a neon sign displaying the restaurant's name. Ivy clung to the side of the building, giving it a certain charm that Ash was sure was carefully maintained. The entryway had several paintings by local artists, many of which were scenes around the district. He was examining a painting of the rusted cargo ship on the beach a little closer when the hostess returned to the podium and caught his attention.
"Should be under Ember? I'm her date. She should have put me under Smoke."
Ash said with a sheepish smile as he said his username from the Messenger app. The hostess checked the book on the podium before smiling and gesturing for him to follow. The dining room was off-white, with gold-painted leaves decorating the trim. All of the tables had white tablecloths, with a candle glowing in the center. Everything was simple, but well done and high quality. As Ash looked around the restaurant, his eyes landed on a catkin that looked vaguely familiar at a table with two satyrs, though he couldn't quite put his finger on why. She caught him looking at her and her ears went flat, and she slinked back into her seat. From that reaction, Ash guessed it was best to ignore her. The hostess led him to a section of the dining room that had tables farther apart and was more secluded. Ash stood still as he laid eyes on Ember. She was wearing a green dress that matched her eyes and showed off her toned figure and chest. Her fire-red hair was done in a long braid, but what drew his attention the most about her was her smile.
"I'm glad you could come, Smoke,"
Ember said with that beautiful smile.
"Please, call me Ash,"
he said, grinning as he joined her at the table. Beau sat at his table in the corner of the restaurant, looking over the menu. This was his first time in a French restaurant. He was trying to be tactful, given the prices of May's Den. He wanted to get the most food for the dollar. He would consider it a tragedy to go to such an expensive place and leave hungry.
"I can't believe you brought that with you,"
Silver scowled at Lily. The dryad was happily munching her way through one of the three baskets of complimentary dinner rolls on the table. The small potted fern that Silver was referring to sat on the table beside her.
"What's wrong with the fern? It's how we got extra rolls from the waiter,"
Lily said as she tore into another roll. Silver rolled her eyes at the dryad.
"We're trying to keep a low profile and making the waiter almost piss themselves by having a dryad threaten him with a fern for more rolls is not how we keep a low profile."
Lily gave Silver a blank stare while finishing her roll.
"And you're keeping a low profile by glaring at their table all night? I'm still trying to figure out why you care so much about Ash and Ember."
Beau was certain they were not keeping a low profile. Most of the tables around them had definitely noticed them. He doubted they would draw the attention of Ash and Ember, though. They were in their own little world at their table. Beau had to smile at his friend. His date seemed to be going very well. The two of them had not taken their eyes off each other, and Ember's tail showed her happiness as much as her smile. He figured there was a decent chance Ash might not come home tonight, and he dreaded how Silver would rant and rave if that happened.
"I have a special deal with Ash, where I'm his teacher," Silver grumbled. "I don't want her to convince him to back out of our deal and replace me with her all because he's thinking with his dick."
A small smirk appeared on Lily's face, and Beau knew her next words would be aimed at antagonizing Silver.
"Oh, so you're worried Ash will realize that Ember is better than you at sex and magic?"
Silver glared at her, before sweeping all the baskets of rolls onto the floor, much to the horror of Lily.
"Why is she even here anyways?"
Silver asked Beau as Lily ducked beneath the table.
"Lily is Ash's friend, the same as you and me. She just wanted to keep an eye out for him."
Honestly, part of it was that Lily was covering half the bill for the night. Lily popped up from under the table with a few rolls in her arms. She blew the dust off of one before she happily took a bite out of it. Silver watched Lily's delight with disgust.
Well, maybe I have a secret deal with Ash as well. One not even he knows about, where I keep a certain slutty bunny with more tits than brains from ruining his date.
Lily said as she shook a roll at Silver.
You know, Ember has her whole streamer business.
Silver scowled at Lily.
She could steal Ash away from working at your shop, have him be her camera fuckboy or something. Ash wouldn't be cleaning up after you and washing your panties then.
Lily focused on her next dinner roll.
Joke's on you. I don't wear panties.
Silver rolled her eyes.
Of course you don't. And here I thought someone had just ordered fish.
Lily narrowed her eyes at Silver, then grabbed a hold of the potted fern with one hand, while still holding a roll in the other. Silver's eyes nervously darted from the potted fern to the dryad.
Calm down, Lily. Don't forget we're trying to keep a low profile.
Beau said as he glanced over at Ash's and Ember's table. The two of them were enthralled with each other. They weren't leaving anytime soon, unless they decided to bump uglies. This meant Beau would have to keep Lily and Silver from trying to kill each other for a while longer. He started thumbing through the alcohol section for something strong.
I already treated you both to dinner as an apology. I'm not going to grovel and beg for forgiveness.
The voice came from a table with an angry-looking catkin and two satyrs, who looked like they had had too much to drink. The catkin stood up to leave the table, only for one of the satyrs to grab her arm and push her to the ground.
He put his hoof on her back, pinning her.
You leave when we say you can leave, bitch. Our lives were made hell by you and that gang. You think some words will make up for that? Please, excuse me for a moment.
Beau said darkly as he closed the menu and dropped it on the table while standing up. Ash and Ember were both halfway out of their seats when the drunk satyr assaulted the catkin woman. They were too slow, though, as an orc sent the satyr flying across the dining room with a punch and had now put himself between the two satyrs and the catkin. Ash thought the orc looked a little like Beau. The two satyrs had regrouped from the orc's surprise attack and were preparing to charge him. Feet stomping, heads down, and horns aimed right at the orc. Stopping both would be difficult, and getting gored by those horns would be no joke.
To battle!
A voice shouted excitedly in the dining room. Any doubt that the orc was not Beau was squashed the moment Lily charged forward, swinging a potted fern like a sword and laughing like a madwoman. The fern rapidly grew in size as its vegetation reached for one of the satyrs. He managed a fearful scream before the vines wrapped around him and slammed him hard against the floor. Beau stood his ground as the other satyr came at him. Before he got gored, Beau grabbed both the drunk satyr's horns. Using the strength and leverage his 7-foot frame gave him, Beau twisted his body, lifting the satyr off the ground by his horns. The momentum carried the drunk over Beau's head and slammed him down hard on a table that was adjacent to the orc, breaking it with the blow. That was when the restaurant staff showed up and escorted all of them out of the restaurant. Beau helped the catkin to her feet and stayed beside her as they all left. Lily left with one arm holding the potted fern and the other holding a basket of rolls she had stolen off a table while being ushered out. Silver shook her head at Lily as she followed behind them.
Well, that was exciting, Ash said as they settled back into their meal.
He gave Ember a reassuring smile. It was clear the altercation had disturbed her, and he could see the gears turning in her mind. She gave him a smile that lacked the geniality of the others she had given him throughout the night. Reaching across the table, he took her hand into his.
Ember, I'm yours tonight. We don't have to stay here.
Ember blushed a deep red that matched her hair. Sorry, I could have phrased that better. Ash blushed.
What I mean is, if you want to go to another restaurant or a bar, I'm fine with it. As long as I'm with you.
Ember squeezed his hand.
I'd like to go where you practice magic.
That whole thing has me wanting to cast some spells.
They walked holding hands toward the old cargo ship while carrying their shoes in their free hand. Night had set, and the full moon was already above the cargo ship, casting enough moonlight for Ash to gather some driftwood for a fire, which Ember lit with a flick of her wrist. Ember hurled a variety of fire spells at the cargo ship. Ash watched her intently. Some of it was keen interest in the spells, but mostly because Ember was stunning. The way she held herself as she cast the spells and the intensity in her eyes sent chills down his spine. She noticed him watching her.
Just going to stare at me casting spells?
Ash smiled at her and shook his head. Might sound corny, but I think I'm starting to see the real you by watching you cast spells, not the streamer that's in all your videos. Ember stood there in silence, staring at him.
Who do you see?
She asked softly. Someone fierce. A fighter. Ember smirked at him.
You can see all that from how I throw some fireballs.
Ash shrugged his shoulders. You cast your spells very similar to someone who practices on this beach. Different magic affinities, but the movements are the same.
And you both have an intensity in your eyes when casting spells.
Ember's eyes widened.
It's getting late, I should probably go,
she sputtered, reaching for her shoes. There was a trepidation in how she said it. Even her body language displayed a sense of fear. Ash tried to figure out what he had said wrong. She started to run before he could get the words out.
Ember, wait! I'm sorry!
He called out, but she didn't stop. She vanished into the night. Ash sat in the sand, watching the fire as it slowly died down, replaying what he had said to her. When only embers remained, he snuffed out the fire and made his way back to the apartment.
Surprised to see you back tonight. Is the puppy playing hard to get?
Silver asked, without looking up from her book on the couch.
Silver, drop it. You all right, Ash?
Beau asked, his face etched in concern. Silver dropped her book at his words and looked at Ash with wide eyes before scowling.
What did that bitch do?
Ash shook his head and gave them both a sad smile.
I fucked it up somehow,
Ash said as he made his way to the fridge and got a beer. I saw your fight, Beau. You kicked ass.
Bastards know I'll end 'em if they go near Jacqueline again.
The name was familiar, but Ash didn't have the energy to try and recall why. Instead, he took a seat on the couch. He pulled out his phone to see if Ember had sent anything. He turned his phone off after seeing he didn't have any new messages.
Beau, you cool with being keeper?
Beau nodded and held out his hand for Ash's phone. His friend would give it back to him in the morning, when he hopefully had a better head on his shoulders. Ash felt a hand rubbing his back and turned to see Silver giving him a sympathetic look.
I'm sorry, Ash.
Ash gave her a warm smile.
Thanks, Silver. Tomorrow I think I'd like to go hard at training.
Tonight, he would drown his sorrows in a few beers, but tomorrow, he wanted to keep his mind focused on anything other than Ember. The pain from burst training seemed preferable to him compared to the numbness he was feeling right now. Chapter 9 Phelan's head pounded as she cracked open her eyes. The empty bottle of whiskey was still in her hand from last night. She pushed herself off the couch where she had passed out and made her way into the kitchen for some water. She caught her reflection in the mirror on the way and stopped. She was still Ember, with the green dress and red wig, though she had taken the green contacts out, due to how much she had been a sobbing mess last night. The streaks of mascara down her face were a testament to that. She scowled at the reflection.
Coward.
She should have been waking up next to Ash after a night of passion, her identity no longer a secret she kept from him. That was how the night had been going. Then, Ash had made a small connection between her two identities and she had panicked and ran, leaving a confused and no doubt heartbroken Ash on the beach. She understood why she had panicked. Jacqueline had also been at the restaurant that night as well. Guilt tripped because of her connection to the 114 pack into treating two satyrs to a meal, only to learn they had feigned acceptance of her apology as a way to use and abuse her. Thankfully, that Orc and Lily had stepped in to protect her. Phelan had sent Jacqueline a text to check on her, saying she had heard what had happened. She responded saying she was all right, though a bit shaken. Phelan knew Ash was nothing like those two vile satyrs, but the way they treated Jacqueline had fed on her fears of rejection. She worried that when Ash finally knew who she was, he wouldn't look at her with the same adoration in his eyes that he had on their date. Instead, they would be filled with hatred or contempt. Hell, he may look at her like that now after how she left him on the beach. She finished the glass of water and poured another one before returning to the couch. Her phone was sitting on the coffee table. She looked at it and saw there were no new messages from him, just her half-typed apology and explanation left unsent. Thankfully, she didn't send anything in her drunken state last night. He deserved better than to know the truth from a message. Finishing the second glass of water, she made up her mind to get cleaned up and go find Ash. Ember had failed in trying to confess. Maybe she would have more spine as herself, as Phelan. She went to the beach first. It was usually a safe bet for where Ash would be. Phelan's assumptions were correct. He was with that big-titty bunny doing the brutal training she had taught him, a harsh, bone-breaking method used to improve both spell efficiency and power. She had been amazed that he stuck with it. Ash was concentrating on his magic and didn't see her approach. Silver, the rabbitkin, did, though. Silver jumped from the rock she was sitting on and started walking towards her. Phelan tried to keep the intrusive thoughts going through her head from showing in her body language. Silver was supposed to be his teacher and liked to flirt just to get a rile out of people, but Phelan wouldn't put it past her to swoop in like a vulture on a heartbroken Ash. She imagined Silver whispering in Ash's ear about how Ember wasn't good enough for him and how she would treat him better. Maybe Silver offered to let him take out his anger and frustration at Ember on her sexually. Ash's hand tightly gripped her hair as he shoved her face into a pillow. Her whimpers echoed in the bedroom as he repeatedly split her apart while cursing Ember with every thrust. The thought vanished as Silver got close enough for Phelan to get her scent and know nothing had happened last night. She let out a sigh of relief.
Phelan, are you here to talk to Ash?
Silver asked as she came to a stop before her.
Yes, something personal and private,
she said, giving Silver a pointed look.
And friendly, right?
Silver asked with a sharp tone as she glanced over at Ash, who was focused on practicing magic.
He had a rough night and doesn't need any more bullshit.
Friendly. Is he all right?
Silver gave her a tired sigh.
No, not really. He's being reckless and pushing himself too far. He won't listen to me, so I would welcome something that would make him take a break, even if it's you.
Silver waved her on towards Ash as she continued down the beach to give them some privacy. Ash looked from Silver walking down the beach back to her.
Everything all right, Phelan?
He looked as if he had slept little last night, and there was a faint odor of beer on him. She wondered if he was as hungover as she was. Phelan bit her lip and dove into it.
No, everything is not all right. There is something I've been meaning to tell you. I'm...
As Phelan struggled to get the words out, Ash wrapped her in his arms and yanked her against him. The momentum of the sudden movement caused them to tumble down the small dune they had been standing on. She could feel Ash's heart race inside his chest. A spear with red, glowing runes pierced the ground where Ash and Phelan had been standing just a moment ago. Flames erupted from the ground where it struck. Had they still been standing there, they would have been cooked alive. Ash had barely caught their would-be assassin's movement in time to react and get him and Phelan out of the way. He was still sliding in the sand when he aimed a bolt at the top of the cargo ship, targeting the blue bastard who had thrown the enchanted spear. The lightning sent the blue bastard tumbling from the top of the ship, causing him to fall to the sand a few yards from them, unmoving.
"Fucking frost trolls!"
Phelan shouted as she got to her feet. Phelan raised a wall of sand in front of her as another spear was hurled her way. As the spear pierced the sand, she hardened it to sandstone. Runes glowed blue on the spear, and ice crystals started to encase the sandstone wall. Three more trolls came around the side of the cargo ship. They were all tall and lanky, with blue-hued skin and tusks. Two more jumped off the side of the ship where the other had fallen. One checked their downed brother, while the other readied his spear and charged at Ash. Ash gave Phelan a quick glance to make sure she was all right. She was hurling earth spikes at a troll, while another one was buried up to his neck in the sand not far away. She was holding her own. He released a bolt at the charging troll, only for the bastard to jab his spear into the sand. A wall of earth formed, blocking the lightning. As the wall crumbled, the troll rushed at Ash with a bone dagger in his hand, covered in red, glowing runes. The troll tackled Ash into the sand and was upon him trying to drive the bone dagger into his chest. The tip of the dagger started to burn as it touched his skin, and fear of death flooded Ash. His hand shot forward on reflexes built from his training and fed by his adrenaline. Blue lightning danced between his fingertips as his hand, in the shape of a claw, struck the troll in the neck. The troll's throat exploded as the lightning claw struck, along with a portion of the back of his neck. The smell of charred flesh clung to the air, and his head flipped back and stared lifelessly behind him. His body soon followed, landing in the sand. Ash froze as he realized he had just killed someone. He could see more trolls arriving from farther down the beach, armed with those enchanted spears.
"Don't freeze, move, or you will die!"
His mind echoed, and he shifted his focus to staying alive. He struck another troll with a bolt before Silver arrived. She came as a harbinger of death, as sinister magic formed claws on her hands, and she tore into the remaining trolls with speed and lethality. Her strikes seemed to rot any living thing they touched, as if she was leeching the life from them. Soon, only two trolls were left alive. The one that Ash had knocked off the ship, rendering him unconscious, and the one that Phelan had entombed up to his head.
"This was a fucking hit! Who the hell are they?"
Silver asked Phelan with an accusatory glare. Phelan was catching her breath, leaning against one of her sand walls. She looked at him and then at the troll he had killed before grimacing.
"Ray was gangbanging trolls. I think they're pissed I killed her."
"Your sidekick, who was working for the boss of District 208?
Silver asked, with a grim look on her face. Phelan nodded.
"Ash, hand me your phone,"
Silver demanded as she held out her hand. Ash handed it to her, then looked at the troll he had killed. His mind raced with the fact that someone had died at his hands. However, what got to him was the numbness of it all, as if his mind had not yet accepted it. He just stared at the almost decapitated troll.
Oh, shit. That was your first kill. Ash, I'm so sorry. I had no idea anyone was after me,
Phelan said as her voice cracked. Ash turned towards her at the change in her voice. Tears were running down her face as she looked at him. Phelan was crying. That snapped him out of his head and he rushed over to her.
Are you all right? Did they hurt you?
He asked. He began to look her over for any injuries. Thankfully, she only had a few scrapes, which he had probably caused with the roll down the dune. Phelan buried her face into his chest and sobbed as she clung to him. He wrapped his arms around her in an embrace as he stood there, dumbfounded. This was Phelan, the gang leader who had mugged him when he first came to Davos and had been the driving force for him to learn magic for protection. A week ago, he would have said he hated her. Now, she was trembling in his arms as she sobbed into his shirt. Even Silver looked stunned before she gave Ash a shrug and turned her attention back to his phone, lifting it to her ear.
Lily, this is Silver, and it is serious. Ash and Phelan were just targets of a hit squad. Yes, they're both fine, but need a place to stay. Do you have room? I'll get them to pack and head over to you.
Silver hung up and handed the phone back to Ash. Wait, I'm not going to put Lily in danger, Ash said firmly as he held Phelan. Silver gave him a stern look.
Lily's is the safest place for both of you. Only someone incredibly stupid, desperate, or suicidal would attack a dryad's home. I know she likes to play the helpless idiot when you're around, but she's not helpless. She's honestly terrifying.
Ash gave her a scowl, which she ignored. Instead, Silver walked over and grabbed the unconscious troll, dragging him over to the one whose head was the only part visible above the ground.
Both of you need to pack to stay at Lily's for a few days. Phelan, grab anything important from your place. They could try to firebomb it once they know this hit failed.
Silver gave them a stern look that brokered no argument.
Stay together and watch each other's back.
Ash nodded to Silver as Phelan finally let him go. Her face was beet red and she refused to look up at him, perhaps embarrassed at the display of emotions.
What about Beau?
He asked. Silver thought for a moment, then shook her head.
He should be safe. He has no connection to the Beastkin gang, and they have no reason to target him. You blew the neck out of a troll. If they had someone watching this hit, then you are now a target.
What are you going to do to them?
Phelan asked, lifting her chin at the two trolls.
Make them talk,
Silver replied darkly.
I want to help,
Phelan demanded. Silver gave Phelan a hard look and shook her head.
No. Get somewhere safe. I'll come to you with what I learn.
Phelan's hands closed tightly into fists as she glared at Silver.
You don't understand. They might know where my sister is.
Your sister? Ash asked. He vaguely recalled Beau mentioning Phelan had a sister. Something about how the two of them had a fight and she moved away from the district. Phelan gave her a sorrowful look.
Ray confessed before I killed her. My little sister wasn't ghosting me. The bitch had sold her into slavery and had the gang gaslight me into thinking she was communicating with them. I have been trying to find her, and any others Ray did this to.
Anger flashed across Ash's face, causing Phelan to look down at the ground in remorse. How many lives did Ray sell away? He wanted to ask Phelan how she could be so blind to what was going on. She seemed to expect it, with how her ears flattened and her tail tucked. Instead, he looked at Silver.
Find where they are. All of the lives that Ray sold, Ash demanded of Silver.
He gestured for Phelan to follow him and started to walk away from the beach. He just wanted to get his stuff and crash once they got to Lily's. Within 24 hours, he had been dumped, killed someone, and found out he might have almost been sold into a slavery ring.
Luna. My sister's name is Luna,
Phelan said to Silver before following Ash. The two of them walked in silence. Phelan's home was closer, so they went there first, though she asked him to wait outside the door while she packed. Ash didn't mind. He was still trying to cool his frayed nerves from this day. She came back out shortly, and they started their way to Ash's apartment.
"Do you hate me?"
Phelan had said the words barely above a whisper. Ash glanced at Phelan. She looked on the verge of tears. Yesterday, he would have thought it was impossible for Phelan to cry. "We barely know each other. No, I don't hate you, Phelan. I hate Ray and all the bullshit she's caused."
"You know me better than you think,"
she said softly. The silence returned as they walked. Ash opened the door to his apartment and stepped inside. Phelan followed behind him. Beau and a catkin with brown hair stood in the kitchen drinking coffee. He recognized her as the one from May's den. He gave his friend a sly smile. Looked like Beau might have caught her eye with his heroics at the restaurant.
"Jacqueline?"
Phelan asked. "Oh, so this is Jacqueline," Ash said with a nod. Now that he thought about it, she did look like the beastkin who had stolen Lily's bike. Her ears went flat, and the fur on her tail puffed up as she looked at both of them. Beau placed a reassuring hand on her back and she calmed down, giving the big orc a smile.
"Well, I guess we don't have to do introductions then. Jacqueline and I met last night at May's den,"
Beau said. He started to take down two more coffee cups and filled them from the pot. He cast a look at both of them, taking in the scrapes and sand caked to their clothing. Looking at Ash, he raised an eyebrow in question.
"Last time you came home early from your magic practice, it was with a nude Silver wearing just your jacket. This time you come home with both you and Phelan covered in sand and dried sweat, like the two of you had been rolling on the beach together."
Ash took the cup of coffee and sipped it. Enjoying the warmth and caffeine was one of the few joys he had found today.
"That's because we were rolling on the beach together, dodging troll assassins trying to shove magic spears up our asses."
Beau stared at him, as if watching for Ash to smirk or laugh. His eyes widened as the seriousness on Ash's face remained.
"You're not joking."
Phelan stepped up and got her cup of coffee as well, though she went for the cream and sugar sitting on the counter.
"Some friends of Ray tried to surprise us on the beach. Silver is getting answers from them,"
Phelan said as she took a sip from her coffee.
"The ones still alive, at least. We are here to get Ash packed, since she believes we should stay at Lily's for a bit."
Beau looked like his mind raced with all the information.
"Wait, Silver's alone with the assassins?"
he asked after processing some of it. Ash smiled and shook his head when he remembered that Beau had never seen Silver in action. Concern was etched across his face, and he stared at Ash in disbelief that he would leave her alone. Phelan cast Ash a confused look at Beau's shock.
"He's never seen Silver fight," Ash answered.
Phelan gave a nod in understanding.
"Don't worry. That woman is the fucking bunny of death,"
Phelan said, taking another sip of her coffee. Ash slipped into his room and quickly packed a bag. When he came back out, Phelan was finished with her coffee, and his was cool enough for him to toss the rest of it back.
"Wait, Ash, I need to apologize to you for the bike and thank you for saving my life,"
Jacqueline said as they made their way to the door.
"Apology accepted, Jacqueline. Do me a favor and keep that big lug out of trouble."
He gave them both a warm smile before slipping out the door. Jacqueline may have caused him a major headache in the past, but if she was friends with Beau, he could forgive her. Chapter 10. Lily was waiting outside her shop for them. The dryad was wearing a white sundress and had a larger pink flower tucked behind her ear that matched the smaller ones that grew naturally from her black hair. She was rocking back and forth, humming a tune to herself, lost in her own little world. Finally, she turned toward them with a smile when they got close enough to her.
Slumber party time!
The chipper dryad shouted as she jumped up and down. That was when Ash realized Lily was not wearing a bra, or much else under her dress. Quickly, he put both of his hands on her shoulders to keep the ball of chaotic energy that was Lily grounded. She pouted at him for keeping her from jumping. Lily, stop flashing the neighborhood, he said, looking around but not seeing anyone else on the street. The dryad rolled her eyes at him.
I own all the buildings on this street. We're the only ones here.
Ash looked back at her in surprise. The street had several buildings that could easily be used as places of business and apartments. Huh. I always thought they were occupied because of the well-maintained flower beds. You put a lot of hard work into them, Lily. They're all beautiful. A big smile broke out on the dryad's face.
This is nothing. Back on Voss, I controlled a massive forest and had fields of wildflowers.
She poked her head around Ash and looked at Phelan.
Hi, Phelan!
Lily looked back at Ash and leaned in to whisper to him, as if Phelan didn't have the hearing of a wolf.
I'll be honest, not the wolf I thought you would be bringing over.
Ash sighed. Most people he could tell to drop it, and they would, but Lily would keep digging, so it was best to just get it over with. My date with Ember crashed and burned. Lily's jaw hung open as she stared in disbelief.
What happened? I was half expecting the two of you to start fucking on the table at the restaurant.
No clue, Ash shrugged. After we left the restaurant, we went to the beach to cast spells. She had this focus and determination with her movements like she was a warrior queen heading into battle. So I told her I thought she was fierce and a fighter, and then she just up and left. Lily scowled.
That makes no sense. Wolfkins have a deep warrior culture. Calling her fierce and a fighter should have had her tail wagging. Phelan, back me up here.
Phelan was being weird again. She was staring at the ground and her face was bright red.
Did you really think she was like a warrior queen?
Absolutely. Phelan looked up at Ash with an odd shine in her eyes. Her breath caught and he noticed her tail wagged for a moment. Then she quickly returned to looking at her feet. He was starting to worry about her. Maybe he would get Lily to check her out. The trolls could have tried using poison on her or something.
Well, let's head to my place. We can watch some movies, eat junk food, and trash-talk Ember.
Ash sighed. I don't want to trash-talk Ember. Just wish I knew why. Lily rolled her eyes.
Fine, just Phelan and I will trash-talk her. You can mope.
Ash shook his head and smiled at the dryad. Lily? She turned and looked at him. We have some dangerous people coming for us. Are you sure you want to do this? Lily cocked an eyebrow and lifted her hand. The air was filled with the sound of thousands of plants rustling, and Ash was sure if he looked away from Lily, he would see vines reaching into the air from all the flower beds around the street. He could see Phelan doing just that out of the corner of his eye. Lily, I know you're strong. That was never the question. I'm asking because we're putting you in danger doing this. You're my friend, not my weapon. The sound of rustling plants stopped, and Lily stared at him. Then she walked up to him, stood on her tiptoes, and kissed his cheek.
Yes, I'm sure. I want to keep you safe,
she said with a smile, before it shifted into a grin.
I would never be able to find another employee that worked for almost nothing like you do.
Lily laughed at her joke, before she started to hum her tune again. She led them away from her shop towards her home. Every once in a while, she would do a twirl that would lift her sundress, and Ash would look at the sky to avoid the reminder that Lily liked to trim her bush into a triangle and even had pink flowers there as well.
I'll see if I can talk her into wearing some panties.
Phelan said behind him.
Thank you,
Ash replied as he stared at the sky. After a short walk, they came to a rather large house with a connecting greenhouse. The place was not far from Lily's shop, but was hidden by a grove of trees that surrounded it. Lily did just as she said she would, and went straight for the movies and junk food. Popcorn bounced off the TV as the horny camp counselors finally defeated the shrub man with a makeshift flamethrower.
Oh, I hate how this movie ends,
Lily said as she pouted at the TV. Ash watched from the recliner as the popcorn fell to the ground to join the rest. He had thrown a few handfuls himself at some of the stupid parts of the movie, and so had Phelan.
Yeah, I was rooting for Shrubby to kill all the camp counselors, too, Ash added.
Phelan raised her eyebrow at Lily, who sat on the other side of the couch from her.
You said you watch this movie all the time. Why, if you hate how it ends?
Lily looked at her, and then pointed at the heroine in the movie, making out with her boyfriend, who somehow miraculously survived being thrown into a wood chipper.
I like how her hair is braided, but I can't figure it out.
Ash scratched the back of his head and went to pull out his phone. His high school girlfriend used to have him help braid her hair, so he was sure if he could find a tutorial on how the actress did the braid, he could do it for Lily. Something little he could do as thanks for letting them stay with her. He froze as he saw the new message on his phone from Ember. Ember.
Ash, I'm sorry about the other night and for not messaging you sooner. The truth is, I have a secret that I've been trying to work up the courage to tell you. You came close to it the other night. I panicked and ran. Our date was wonderful. You are wonderful.
What's up?
Lily asked from the couch, a handful of popcorn almost to her face.
Ember just messaged me.
Ash was still staring at his phone when a force collided with him. The recliner tipped over, and a laughing Lily was prying his phone out of his hands as the chair landed on its side. Her crotch was buried into his face. Luckily, Phelan had been able to talk the dryad out of the sundress and into some jeans. Otherwise, Ash would have gotten to know Lily a little more personally. Before he could react to what Lily was doing, the dryad had flipped around and was clinging to him as her lips pressed to his cheek. The flash of the phone's camera went off, blinding him. As quick as it started, it was over, and Lily was standing again.
You snooze, you lose! Hashtag garden girls, hashtag stealing your man, hashtag what those vines can do,
Lily read out as she typed.
Lily!
Ash crawled out of the overturned recliner and tackled the laughing dryad onto the couch. She was a giggling mess as he wrestled her for his phone. Ash looked over at Phelan, sitting on the couch, watching them with an amused look on her face.
Phelan, help me out, he pleaded.
No, help me,
Lily laughed. Phelan instead chose to throw handfuls of popcorn at them while shaking her head and laughing. Ash managed to get his phone back before Lily sent her incriminating pictures. He went back to looking for the hair braiding video as Lily came down from her laughing fit. He decided to leave the message with Ember for later. Lily was on the floor with a bowl of popcorn as Ash sat behind her on the couch, her hair in his hands. He was playing the tutorial for the braid as he followed it. Popcorn covered every surface of the living room now.
I still say we should have sent my message. Teach her not to be so wishy-washy. What do you think, Phelan?
Phelan froze at the sudden attention, but recovered quickly. She smiled at Lily.
I think Ash could have explained what happened in a way she would understand.
Ash wasn't so sure he could explain away a dryad in his lap, kissing him with hashtag stealing your man, and what the hell did hashtag what those vines can do even mean?
What movie are we watching now?
He asked, trying to change the subject away from Ember. He was happy to finally hear from her, but his mind raced with what secret she was talking about. He kept playing the night over in his head, looking for what it might have been.
A cinema classic? Trimageddon 4, the rerouting?
Ash was starting to see a theme with the movies. Bo had said he and Lily became friends from talking about B-horror movies, which was the staple of what Bo watched.
Let me guess, you don't like the ending of this one either?
Phelan asked with a smirk.
No, it's all right. Spoilers! The trees take out the hero with them at the end,
Lily said as she threw popcorn into her mouth.
Bet he returns in Trimageddon 5,
Ash chuckled. Lily flicked popcorn at him.
We do not discuss that piece of trash film in this household.
Phelan had just left the shower, letting Ash in to take his turn. Lily had more bathrooms in her house with showers, but all of them were currently filled with plants, save one. So they had to take turns. Thankfully, the water heater was massive, so there was no shortage of hot water. Phelan had taken a long one. She wanted to be very clean in case tonight went a certain way. Phelan opened the door to her room and stepped inside. She saw Lily, and her heart dropped as she quickly shut the door.
Bow chicka wow wow,
Lily said as she shook her hips in front of the mirror, wearing Ember's red wig. Phelan put her back to the bedroom door and slowly slid down to sit on the floor.
Hey, Phelan, did you have a good shower?
Lily asked.
Yes,
Phelan said with trepidation. Lily smiled and gave her a nod.
Good! Is Ash in the shower yet? I wanted to go make kissy faces at him while wearing this wig. I think it makes me look like Ember. Don't you agree?
Phelan's head knocked against the door as she leaned back, eyes closed.
When did you figure it out?
When I came back from the kitchen with more popcorn, I saw you typing the message Ember sent Ash. You were watching him, not me.
Lily's playful smile dropped for a more serious look as she crossed her arms.
So, Ember, Phelan the Ember, whichever name you prefer, what is all this? Are you just trying to jerk Ash around?
Phelan lifted her head and looked at Lily. She could feel the tears well up in her eyes again. She hated it. She had fought countless battles, suffered grievous injuries, and danced with death many times, all without shedding a tear. Yet lately, she has been a sobbing mess.
I love him.
Lily uncrossed her arms and gave her a sympathetic look.
Then tell him that. You're only hurting him the longer this is dragged out.
Phelan sniffled.
I plan to tonight. I'm just afraid he will reject me once he knows the truth. I've hurt him in the past.
I know, I was the one that treated his broken bones,
Lily said as she checked herself out in the mirror. Phelan grimaced at the reminder of what she had done to him.
So, you're telling him tonight?
Lily asked, breaking her gaze from the mirror to look back at Phelan.
Yes,
Phelan tried to say with conviction. Lily nodded.
Once he's out of the shower, I'll go patrol the perimeter of the house for a few hours and give you both some privacy. Tomorrow, if you still have not told him the truth, I will wear this wig to breakfast and tell him myself.
Phelan wiped away a tear on her cheek.
Thank you, Lily.
Chapter 11. Ash was getting ready to call it a night in the room Lily had given him to stay in. A small bedroom with a nightstand and a twin-sized bed. He decided to wear a shirt and flannel pants to sleep in, since he wouldn't put it past Lily to try and sneak into his bed, just because it was closer than her own or some other reason that only made sense to the dryad. His phone alerted him to a new message from where it was charging on the nightstand. He practically dove for it. He had been waiting eagerly for Ember to message him again. Sure enough, the message was from her. Ember.
Is now a good time to talk?
Ash quickly typed a reply. Smoke. Yes.